It's Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Laura Sullivan in for Guy Raz. Election Day is just 3 months away. Do you have what it takes to vote in your state? More than 35 states have enacted or are considering new restrictions on how people vote. Some states, like Texas, Virginia, and Pennsylvania, require voters to present specific photo IDs at the polls. Other places, like Ohio and Florida, have made changes to early voting. Many of the new rules are being challenged in court, but they could have a real impact in November. They're popping up largely in states with the bulk of the electoral votes, the ones that can get a candidate elected. The issue is split cleanly down partisan lines. Republicans say they are working to prevent voter fraud. Democrats say the rules target the elderly, the poor, and minorities who are less likely to have state-issue IDs, and many of whom vote Democrat. That's our cover story today, how voter ID laws could affect this year's elections and whether or not they're warranted. Meet Ana Gonzalez.
I was born in Puerto Rico, and I live in Philadelphia, PA.
Gonzalez is a U.S. citizen without a birth certificate. She was born with the help of a midwife on the island and shortly after left for the continental U.S. with her adoptive parents. She doesn't have a license, her husband drives, and her odd jobs over the years have only required a Social Security card, which she has. But now, without a birth certificate or a state-issued ID, she's got a bit of a problem under Pennsylvania's new voter ID law, one she's never had before in 40 years of voting.
They never asked me for anything. All I had to do, give them my name, and then they would look it up in the book, and I would sign my name, and that's it.
So what's it going to take for Ana Gonzalez to vote in November? We asked Ron Ruman for some clarity. He's the press secretary for the Pennsylvania Department of State, which is responsible for implementing the new law. Here's a list of IDs you can use on November 6th in Pennsylvania.
Any photo ID with an expiration date issued by the federal government or the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, military IDs, photo IDs from accredited Pennsylvania colleges, U.S. passport, an employee ID issued by the federal government, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, a Pennsylvania county or a municipality, and a care facility ID.
Now, what if I don't have a photo ID?
If you don't have an acceptable ID for voting, you can get one free of charge for voting purposes at any one of 71 PennDOT driver license centers.
What do I need to get that?
If you ever in the past had a Pennsylvania driver's license, all you need to do is go to the PennDOT Driver License Center. You give them your name, your birth date, your Social Security number, and you'll go home with a free ID card that day.
And what if you've never had a driver's license? What if you're from out of state?
Folks in that position will be able to get what's called a Pennsylvania Department of State voter ID card. They are for voting purposes only. And what you'll need to present to get one of those is a Social Security number. You won't need the card, and two proofs of residence.
There are a lot of people who have really transient home situations. How are they supposed to prove that they have residency?
You can bring someone with you. They can attest to the fact that you live at that residence. Or let's say that that's really tough for you to do if you're in a boarding home and you can't get someone to come with you. You can get an individual to sign an affirmation under oath that they are vouching that you live at that address.
So given all that, Ana Gonzalez should be able to vote in November if she gets a voter ID card. But it's going to take some effort on her part. And that is at the heart of this debate. How easy should it be for someone to vote? And if you make it too hard, will you lose a certain segment of voters? Critics of the new ID law say that is exactly the point of the laws. They argue this is all politics, and Pennsylvania State Representative Mike Terzai gave critics a lot of ammunition in June when he spoke to the Republican State Committee. Terzai co-sponsored the state's voter ID law.
Voter ID, which is going to allow Governor Romney to win the state of Pennsylvania. Done.
Terzai declined NPR's request for an interview. But Cleta Mitchell says this is not about Republicans versus Democrats. It's about fairness and voter responsibility. She's the president of the Republican National Lawyers Association, which is supporting voter ID legislation nationwide. Is there any part of this for you that is about keeping Democrats out of the polling booth and having Republicans be more represented?
Oh, please. That is just so preposterous. It's actually insulting.
Have you heard the clip from Representative Mike Turzai in Pennsylvania, who sponsored the voter ID legislation?
I've read his comments. You know, what difference does that make? I also know that there are a lot of Democrats and liberal groups who've made similar statements, who are outraged at the idea that this might somehow keep them from being able to deliver their blocks of votes. I'm not trying to keep anybody out of the polling place. I want everyone who's eligible to vote in this country to participate in the process and to do so in accordance with the law. And that's all we're trying to do. We want to make it easy to vote but hard to cheat. I just don't know why that's controversial.
Much of that controversy has stemmed from whether or not people are in fact cheating at the polls. One group, the Journalism Project News 21, analyzed voter fraud cases over the past decade. They found just 10 cases nationwide of people showing up at the polls pretending to be somebody else. So I asked Cleta Mitchell if pushing efforts to stop seemingly isolated instances of voter fraud could end up disenfranchising a much larger group.
I think it's just the opposite. I think that it is an infinitesimally small, isolated instance of someone who doesn't have a photo ID or can't get one. Tennessee just enacted last year a photo ID requirement. They had their first statewide election this past March. They made free photo IDs available. And in the final analysis, after all was said and done and all the hoopla, it was 0.01% of the people who voted who somehow were not able to vote or who appeared to vote who didn't have some form of photo identification sufficient to allow them to vote. Do we not think that something as precious as the right to vote is worth going to a little bit of trouble to obtain?
That's Cleta Mitchell from the Republican National Lawyers Association. Critics of these new laws say it's not about going through a little bit of trouble. It's about preventing people from voting at all. Larry Norden is the deputy director of the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center for Justice.
Politics is one thing, and both sides try to win. But when it comes to denying people the right to vote, that should not be a political tactic. It's the one time we're all equal. And when we cast our vote, nobody should be interfering with that. So, is this politically motivated? I can't read into people's hearts and know what their motives are. All I can say is when it comes to something as important as the right to vote, it shouldn't be an object of political calculations. And politicians shouldn't be allowed to manipulate voting rights for their own benefit.
How much voter fraud is there?
There have been many, many independent studies on this, and the answer is it is almost non-existent. A person is as likely to be struck by lightning as they are to commit impersonation fraud.
Is it possible, though, that there is voter fraud that is happening regularly out there, but that we simply don't know it because we don't know who's showing up at the polls if they're not required to show a valid ID?
Actually, voter fraud, when we're talking about impersonation fraud, was one of the easiest crimes there is to track if it happens. The Department of Justice under the Bush administration spent a couple of years attempting to find examples of in-person voter fraud, and they weren't able to come up with anything. If somebody goes into a polling place and pretends to be somebody that has died, they sign their name on the voter rolls. If there's an investigation done to look at whether or not there were dead people voting, for instance, that would show up. Nobody wants ineligible people voting, and there are lots of steps that we can take to prevent ineligible people from voting, even in the exceptionally rare cases that it happens. But what we shouldn't be doing is using as an excuse this boogeyman of voter fraud to keep legitimate eligible people from voting, and that's unfortunately what has happened.
How many people out there do not have the kind of ID that they need to vote with some of these new restrictions? How many people is this going to affect?
The Brennan Center estimates that about, and other independent studies have confirmed this, 1 in 10 Americans do not have the kind of ID that is required by the most restrictive laws that have passed.
What we heard sort of was this idea that, you know, voting is a responsibility, and it's something that people should take seriously. And if they can't go through a couple steps to go down to the DMV and get their free voting ID, then maybe they really weren't going to vote in the first place.
Look, voting is both a responsibility and a right. And of course, all of us as citizens have responsibilities connected. But government has a responsibility also to make voting accessible to all of its citizens.
The Brennan Center's Larry Norden. So will Anna Gonzalez be able to vote this November? She says she's going to get one of her children to drive her to the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation and wait with her so she can get a voter ID card. But after 4 decades of voting, it doesn't sit well with her.
I'm upset. I'm upset because, you know, to see all the sacrifices that so many people did, and it's almost like going back in time. As long as I'm allowed to vote, I'll respect the law. But it's unfair because that type of pressure is not put on other people.
The question many politicians are asking is, come November, how many other voters will be willing to take the same steps?